Writer Jacqueline Wilson was asked to prepare the preface for a biography of author Frances Hodgson Burnett. The book was written by Anne Thwaite. Wilson tells us about the impact of Hodgson's on her young life. "I bought most of my own books as a child, spending ages in my local W.H. Smith's, selecting a new Puffin paperback. They were beautifully produced with attractive, child-friendly covers and sold at pocket money prices so I could save up and buy one every couple of weeks. The Secret Garden by Frances Hodgson Burnett was one of the first in my collection. I liked the title for a start. Every child is interested in secrets. I liked the idea of a garden, too. I lived in a block of flats with just a concrete balcony. I hoped this garden would be a romantic garden of roses and honeysuckle, though the gray front cover of this Puffin edition looked a little bleak. It was clearly winter, and the garden wall was covered with gnarled, bare branches. A child is standing in front in a white coat and frock with a scarlet scarf and matching mittens. She's clutching a skipping rope, but she's not using it. She's standing still and looking miserable, her mouth turned down. This was a surprise to me. I'd never seen a child positively scowling on a book cover before. With such a sallow face and lank, untidy hair, it made me want to read all about her. I glanced at the first few sentences. When Mary Lennox was sent to Misselthwaite Manor to live with her uncle, everyone said she was the most disagreeable-looking child ever seen. It was true, too. She had a little thin face and a little thin body, thin light hair, and a sour expression. Her hair was yellow and her face was yellow because she had been born in India and had always been ill in one way or another. I was immediately hooked. I was a little tired of Pollyannas. I felt sorry for Mary at first, especially when she finds herself all alone in her grand house in India after everyone has died of cholera. I grew disconcerted when she arrives at the Misselthwaite Manor on the bleak Yorkshire moors, though, and behaves atrociously to Martha, a friendly servant. But I couldn't dislike Mary even so. I was starting to understand her. I'd read about rude, naughty children before, of course, especially in the old Sunday school prize books in my grandparents' house. There was no authorial moralizing in The Secret Garden. Frances Hodgson Burnett showed me why Mary was behaving badly, and then, gradually and convincingly, has her learning new ways and starting to grow as a person, physically and mentally. I'd never heard of Freud at that stage, but Mary's belief that if you wish something passionately enough, it will happen, made sense to me. I admired Mary's courage and spirit when she explores the dark ancient house with its 100 rooms and discovers the hidden Colin. Invalids in children's books were always good and holy, so Colin's haughtiness and hysteria was a surprise. I was startled by the stark conversation about death between the two spoiled children. When Mary suggests Colin might go on the moor sometime, he says, "Go on the moor? How could I? I am going to die." "How do you know?" said Mary unsympathetically. She didn't like the way he had of talking about dying. She felt rather as if he almost boasted about it. Mary's delight when she finds the way into the secret garden and her joy as it gradually burgeons in spring and summer made me dizzy with happiness, too. It wasn't until I reached the marvelous ending that I saw the back cover was an extension of the walled garden, but the bare branches were now growing leaves, and there were flowers climbing the wall and pushing through the tufts of grass. Words of Jacqueline Wilson from the preface to the biography of author Frances Hodgson Burnett, titled Beyond the Secret Garden. We're invited into this intriguing world of secrets where expectations are overturned and there's magic in the air. It's the musical version of the novel, The Secret Garden, with music by Lucy Simon. The musical's script and lyrics are by Marcia Norman. The work opened on Broadway in 1991 and ran for 709 performances. It seems a perfect production for this time of year, and we had a visit from director Jessica Woolnow and Brielle Fisher, who plays Mary, and Mike Corcoran, who is Archibald Craven, and they wanted to tell us eagerly about what's in store for us at the Little Theater of Wilkes-Barre.
It's perfect for the turn of spring. It has the right feel. You nailed it with gorgeous and lush, this show, and especially this time of year. We look for, we're coming out of the gloom and doom of winter, going into the crook of spring coming in, and you nailed it with the hope too. But many people think Secret Garden, you think pretty, and you think garden, but that's not until the very end. Throughout, it's quite doom and gloom, and there's lots of dead people on stage. They're referred to as dreamers, but this show, even though it really focuses around the young Mary, which we have here in the studio, and it also goes around Archie, who's also in the studio, it branches off of all of the other relationships and connections throughout. I know they just wanted something powerful at this time, and I think they nailed it. And this cast, you have no idea. I had the most goosebumps when casting this show. I don't think anyone has seen anything like this. You need to hear these voices. There's classically trained performers. The opera that comes out of their mouths, it is, I just got goosebumps right now. You need to see this.
David Parmalee, Little Theater's general manager, was excited to realize that there were so many women who were responsible for bringing this show to the stage as a musical.
Correct. And yes, it is very important to women, and we want to make sure we give, first and foremost, a shout out to the Community Advisory Board at Little Theater, that all of the women were the ones that funded this show. They all put in their share, and they're the reason why we are putting this on in the first place. So we want to give them a shout out, because without them, we wouldn't have this show. But also, I don't want to take over all of this with having such a knowledgeable girl in the studio that knows exactly why it is so important to women. So besides at Little Theater and having a female director, music director, set designer, etc., we also are stemming from the novel written by a woman, also talk about the musical.
So the reason that this is very important is because this is one of the two Broadway musicals written and directed by women. The first one is Waitress, and this is obviously the second one, The Secret Garden, and it makes such a great statement for Women's History Month.
It's not just it gives you a chance to act and sing, but that part is important to you too.
Yeah, it really touches the heart.
Archie, why did you come out for the show?
Well, I saw the original Broadway cast, and it was amazing. I mean, it just thrilled me. It's really my second favorite show I've ever seen. Les Mis is number one. Waitress is number three. Then I actually got a chance to do the show. I did Archie about 20 years ago, and I met my wife doing the show.
Aww.
And so it's always had a real strong place in my heart.
How has acting and being involved in theater come into your life? Have you taken workshops? Have you been with Little Theater? How did you get involved with
theater? So I really got involved because of dance. My first show was actually Christmas Story. This is only my fourth show. So when I heard I got the role, I was very surprised. And I only did one workshop, The Wizard of Oz Junior, so that was really fun. And I really didn't know about this show much, but when I heard they were doing it, I got told by a couple of people that I should audition for it. So I just went, and I did not expect to get the lead, but I guess I got it, so.
Yeah, you could tell, you could see something behind those eyes. And I keep saying that I really like, you could tell she had that potential. And I have to say she is phenomenal. I still have to, we do have also a Mary understudy. I want to give her a shout out too. And Lily Davis is playing the understudy of Mary. So she gets to perform the second Saturday. Now Bree, that is here. Yes, I absolutely, you came up there, you blew me away. And I have to say, good job to Scott, my husband, who was the one that led your workshop. So I guess we just believe in you. You're fantastic, Bree. Keep doing
Thank
it.
Thank you.
Let's ask you, Archie, how have you come to create your Archie?
Well, I used my original Archie. I've had, you know, my fair share of grief in my life. And I just lost my mother about 3 years ago. I lost my father at the age of 14. And, you know, it was a struggle. My mom raised five children. And, you know, it just came easily. I mean, it really, you know, there's a bit of darkness in me.
Archie's as protected as they get, isn't he?
Yeah, he really is he tries to control himself, and he's in his mind the whole time. He just can't give up his love of Lily.
And what about then you, Bree, when you're being Mary? You start out and there's a terrible situation for you and you're in India and you're all alone. What happens? How do you do that?
Well, I did lose my grandma like 3 years ago, so I went through some of that stuff. And dance has really helped me with my acting skills because, I mean, dance has a lot of acting in it. And it just, like, it feels right in my heart and everything the way I act, so.
Absolutely. I totally love hearing this, by the way, because I didn't know about this until their actual personal connection with that. It reads. But, I mean, I lost my father the end of 2021, and I have not been the same since. So I connect with that loss, and I need it taken seriously. It is not a light show. It needs to be taken as such. So you both taking that from personal experiences, knowing that, oh, that just touches my heart, to know that you really, truly get that. I'm glad that you feel that, and I hope the audiences will connect with that too.
And because we are all still aware and remembering the epidemic we experienced, you come out of an epidemic, right? Cholera, right?
Yes.
Did you learn anything in school, or do you know about cholera?
Well, actually, I didn't really learn about it in school. First time I learned about it was actually at auditions. I was like, what's this word? And I searched it up, and I was like, oh, cholera.
But you had something to measure it by because you knew about COVID, right?
Yeah.
So how are you managing as director, Jessica? We're in India. We're at this estate. We've got this garden that's walled off. How are you managing to bring us all these places?
Well, I don't want to give away too much. And I also want to leave it into the hands of our set designers, because I want it to be close to the original with some of my own ideas, and we're putting all of our efforts in. So it's going to see the magical theater fairies put it all together. But I don't like when it's handed to you. There needs to be spectacle, but I don't want it to be, this is now India with a big sign and very literal, an elephant walks across the stage, right? So you want to make sure that there's still, like, it's obvious, but it's not so obvious that it smacks you in the face. So I wanted to have a simplified set where you added different pieces on. And that's also where the dreamers, the dead people, come in, where they will come in and change the mood and change the scene. But I mean, we're going to say the garden is going to be lush and beautiful. Don't worry about that. Okay. You will definitely know when you're in the garden.
As a musical, and you've seen the original, Mike, what's the ratio of dialogue and music?
Well, this show is very heavy with music. I mean, very heavy. In fact, I like it. My spoken lines are limited compared to what I'm singing. So I'm a singer-actor more than an actor-singer.
How about you and the songs? Do you have a lot?
Yeah, I have a ton. I can't even count how many.
Never want to ask about favorites, but what's one that you particularly enjoy?
I don't have a favorite. I really like the letter song and I Heard Someone Crying, which are both songs with Archie.
Everybody else is too. Please come home.
Home. I have no home.
Martha says that you're in Paris.
It's
is
a house,
very
child.
Far away?
Just a house.
Do they have nice girls and boys?
I can't
there?
Get far enough away from it.
Please come home.
Now just sign it.
should I say that Colin's well known?
Streets of Paris like a maze.
Should I say that Dr. Craven?
Sleepless nights and aimless days.
I think that what you have is good. Let's get it posted on its way. He'll rush home, then you can tell him all the rest you have to say. Oh, kind sir, Uncle Archie, I wish that you could see when you come into the garden. Please come home
for me.
Yours truly.
Well, maybe.
Sincerely.
About
your friend Mary.
She's writing to you in Paris. Mm-hmm.
And it just helps to wake me up. It's kind of like leads into Lily coming to me again.
And that's your late wife.
Yep.
Speaking of writing, words seem to have power in this show, don't they? Wick, meaning alive, for example. And the chant.
Yes,
very much so.
Absolutely. I really like this book. I like that there's no convoluted sense to the words. The words they're pretty succinct. You know exactly what's going on. For when blocking it, it seems like everything just makes sense. We don't just had fluff in there. Everything has meaning. I feel like, yes, it all together, makes sense.
That's a pretty exciting scene when Colin gets...
Spoiler.
There's this marvelous moment, Bree, and part of it has to do with your belief in him. And what does that tell us about how we relate to other people?
Well, like, I know if someone's not feeling well or, like, there's something wrong in their life, you're going to believe that they can get better and you're going to help them through everything. So, I mean, it really does relate to real life.
What do you think about the symbolism of some of the things, not the meaning of the garden, because it's richer than that?
Well, it's nurturing. It actually helps to heal everybody.
Are we going to believe that we're in England at a manor house? Are we going to feel like we're at Masterpiece Theater in terms of the costumes?
Oh, without a doubt. I'm very excited. Again, theater fairies, please work your magic. We just took promo photos and they looked fantastic. Shout out to Angel Blaine from Mulcahy. We love her. We took these photos on a very dreary day like today, outside in the rain. And it felt like the moors. It felt like the English countryside. And then I think that also was a good connection of feeling, oh, so in the show, this is what we're picturing.
You like dressing like that in period costume?
Yeah, it's really fun and it actually helps build character a lot. And it just helped me, I feel, now connect more when we go into Tech Week.
And your character, you grow in the course of this. You learn a lot, don't you? You grow.
Yeah, a lot. I get a lot more comfortable. My cousin, Colin, obviously. And I really just open up and get way more lighthearted.
We're working on making her not the sweet girl that you see here, Bree. We're making her a little bratty. It's actually a process. It's not that easy to take a sweet girl and make her a brat, you know?
I asked Bree about songs that she enjoys. How about you?
A Bit of Earth. Yeah, it just is so touching.
And that's in answer to her request.
Yeah.
She wants to plant some seeds.
Well, yeah. Well, it brings up my dead wife, Lily, again. And it just is just such a outpouring of grief.
I asked you about whether you waltz with Lily, and you do. Mm-hmm. Is she just like one of us, or does she have some aspect of her that makes us realize that she's gone over to the other side?
Well, with costuming and with blocking, there isn't much true interaction. I'm trying to make it very obvious who is not with us and who is quote unquote with us in spirit. So while she is the only person she truly interacts and touches is Archie, and that is intentional. Nobody should be touching anything. You should feel like, okay, so this is the powerful moment where both worlds collide. So it's very, that's why you'll see with the set that there's sort of a catwalk and a walkway that it's raised, and then there is sort of We call it the cholera cave, this opening that all of the dead people go through. And there needs to be that obvious, okay, there are some with us, some not. And also with costuming, all of those not with us are wearing white. So that's the duh in your face. But you'll see, yes, Archie does waltz with Lily, but they also do have other moments together and other songs together, and it's beautiful.
Other than the waltzing, is there any choreography of any sort?
This show is not lent to more dancing. I have choreographed before. I love dancing. I'm into those big dancey shows. So, of course, I had to add some of that in there. So there's little moments, and there's a little bit of incanting and incanting, that's right, and enchanting and lots of spooky magic. And there are moments, but it's a lot of leading with the voice and the music and the acting kind of a show.
Little Theater of Wilkes-Barre is known always for live musicians. Tell us about your music.
Absolutely. Well, Polina Montag, not going to try to pronounce her last name that she said. It's all phonetic. We're not going there. Polina, we love you. She is putting together the orchestra. So they're at a college level. So, and what's great is they're on spring break for our tech week. So they're going to work just on us. I can tell it's going to be phenomenal. Polina's been fantastic to work with. Her caliber is very high. I love that her work ethic is, okay, let's do this and let's make sure it's right. It's going to sound fantastic. Again, Theater Fairies, we want to make sure it all works out, but our SITS probe is on Sunday, so it's going to be the first time we all join together.
And that must be exciting as a singer-actor to work with live musicians,
is it? Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, there's nothing like it. I've done a couple shows where they had recorded music, and it helps to add some real depth to the orchestration, but it also is a constraint to the actor. There's no forgiveness.
If you wanted to hold a note for emotion.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm a tenor, so you give me a high note, I don't want to get off of it.
That'd be great. And, I don't want to say demanded, but I gently nudged, and so did our music director, that the pit be open. So the pit has not been open in quite some time, and it was opened up, the sunken in pit in the stage. There's nothing like having a true pit in a theater. And so it has been opened up and cleaned up. All of the dust bunnies, everything is gone and ready to go. And it's going to have that true classic feel.
Now tell us about this person who is a gardener maybe and plays the pan pipes and is sort of like a mythological figure.
Are you talking about Dickon? So Dickon, yes. Well, he's not totally this fairy creature, which kind of, yes, but he is the bright light that you see, the hope. He teaches her how to garden. He teaches her that, you know, it's not that bad. Let's perk up. Come on. Cheer up, Buttercup. And let's try to make what we have in front of us better. We can do something about our lives. And that is played by Tate Elliott. And he's doing a fantastic job. And it's neat. And I have to say that in the movie, they really, in the 90s, I'm sure with, you know, Maggie Smith, we all probably know. They really emphasize this weird little love triangle with the three young ones. We're not doing that in this one. It is not emphasized so much there, but is more a friendship bond. So it's all about who's in your life and their dependency, but codependency, kind of. A little bit of magic thrown in.
Yeah, do you like the magic part?
Yeah, it just really helps it come together well. And I feel that it just makes it more of a show. And more entertaining, and gives a lot more to the show.
Is it a show for all of us? Will your friends like to come and see it?
I know a couple of my friends are already planning on coming.
Yes, it's kid-friendly. It is a longer show, so if the younger children, probably, yeah, they won't get it, but it's still enough going on for them. But I know, what did we block yesterday that was turned into your favorite thing?
The tantrum scene with Dr. Craven.
And that's your brother?
Yes.
And you throw a tantrum?
A pretty big one.
Uh-oh, so she's learning the wrong things from the show.
Yes. Yeah, and it's not even just tantrum. It's you know, Indian Hindi words thrown in mixed with cursing people, and it's really fun. And we have, actually, I have six other children or child dreamers in this show. So it's not written for other children, but there's children in it, so kids can connect with that.
Bree, you brought some notes. Tell us what you have there.
Yeah, she wants to tell us, how can you get tickets?
Oh, please do.
Okay, so opening night is March 15th and closing is March 24th. Times are Fridays and Saturdays, 8 p.m., and Sundays, 3 p.m. Make sure to go online at ltwb.org or call 570-823-1875 or go in person and get them at the door.
Brielle Fisher, who plays Mary. We also met Archibald Craven, and Mike Corcoran has that role. And they, as actors, were here with director Jessica Woolnow. The Little Theater of Wilkes-Barre will present The Secret Garden March 15th through the 24th at the theater, 537 North Main Street in Wilkes-Barre, Fridays and Saturdays at 8 and Sundays at 3, as we just heard from Bree. For more information, on the web, ltwb.org, ltwb.org. It's The Secret Garden at the Little Theater of Wilkes-Barre, March 15th through the 24th, Fridays and Saturdays at 8, Sundays at 3. The Little Theater of Wilkes-Barre is located at 537 North Main Street in Wilkes-Barre. For more information, on the web, ltwb.org. The production is presented by the women of the Little Theater Community Advisory Board.